Good morning and welcome to Digital Village. My name is Rick Allen, along with my co-Linux... Co-Linux propagandeer.
Oh, I like that one. Good morning, Rick. Good morning, everyone. Doran Behrens here. This is Digital Village.
KPFK's weekly show about computing and the internet and cyber culture in general. And
propagandist, huh?
Propagandeer.
Oh, okay. That works.
That's just a word I totally made up.
And the reason...
Okay, Linux evangelist there. Is that better?
Closer. In a while, though. We're going to be talking about Linux today. The Southern California Linux Expo is rolling into town. It's an annual visit, and we're going to be joined in studio by two of the folks with the expo and with the... deeply involved in the Southern California Linux community, Orv Beach and Gareth Greenaway are going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking about all things Linux and
See,
open source and things like that.
We did. What did we do? We did CES and we did Macworld. Now we're saving the best for last.
That's right. Yeah. But first half hour, we have got a lot of news, a lot of sex and drugs and rock and roll and. Everything
and privacy and not so
and
privacy
and
yeah,
and Congress critters are doing their thing over there in that Washington D.C. place.
Yeah. Well, let's start off with MySpace, which is everybody's space.
MySpace, that's a social networking site, gaining a lot of popularity, and particularly with young folk.
Nowadays, the kids just say, are you on MySpace? Okay, then. I like, here's my MySpace address.
I'm on MySpace.
All right.
So it's not just for those little kids, but, like I said, now it's only supposed to be folks who are over the age of, 14, I think, is what the agreement says when you sign on.
Well, according to Middleton Police Sergeant Bill McKenna, it's a predator's dream come true.
Oh.
Because not only can you see them, but you can see their friends. You can find out where they go to middle school.
I'm sorry. Some of the friends of 14-year-olds I know are pretty scary looking. What they're talking about is that in Middleton, Connecticut, there is accusations that up to seven teenage girls have been sexually assaulted, to what degree we're not sure, by men who they met through MySpace. Because of the age of their kids, and not a lot of specifics are being released at this point. They're not sure if there's more girls, and if this is a localized thing up in that part of Connecticut. But because a lot of girls would be reluctant, the thinking goes to let their parents and authorities know that they met older men through a website like that. There may be others out there that they're concerned about. MySpace has issued a statement, of course, saying that they are committed to making sure, needless to say, they are committed to making sure that this doesn't happen. And they did point out that their terms of use prohibit users younger than the age of 14, although they do admit that it's difficult to enforce that. If the kid lies about their age, there's not much they can do.
Right. Well, and of course, the Attorney General, Richard Blumenthal, had to... address his concerns also. He said that as a parent, I find it appalling and abhorrent that a website would so poorly police its pages. Well, we were hearing the same thing, half a decade ago about AOL.
Yeah, instant messaging.
Uh-huh.
And it's not a new phenomenon. It's one that parents need to be aware of. And, when I was a kid, it was the telephone. And...
Those 900 numbers.
They don't have telegrams anymore. They stopped those this last week, so I was going to say maybe my grandma had a telegrams problem, but who knows.
The 18th century version of the Internet.
That's what I hear. Okay, moving on. In the UK, an industry regulator for telephones there, I don't know how you pronounce it, ICTS, it sounds like. They are saying that apparently there's a loophole in the way of phones work in the UK that allows children to access adult websites, porn. That's right, kids can get porn over the phone if they have a premium account. So what it is if you send a premium text message, in this case, to certain websites, apparently it bypasses the age filters. Mm. And so then, of course, found the 15-year-old girl's accounts to prove it on. The BBC reported that, in fact, they were able to access inappropriate material for children by using a premium text message.
And to think I was limited when I was that age to just sneaking my dad's Playboys. So, oh, things sure have changed.
Yes, they have. Well, speaking of which, in Texas, a woman called the cops because while she was waiting in line at, I think it was a McDonald's for a fast food takeout, waiting in her car, she and her two passengers, a 9-year-old and a 92-year-old, were able to view an X-rated video in the car in front of them. Apparently, the driver of that video was passing the time by having a dashboard-mounted monitor play an X-rated film. Not a good idea when you're sitting in a car in a line at a McDonald's. But so she wrote down the license plate of the car and phoned the police. And indeed, they traced it down to a 24-year-old who, in fact, had 3 active warrants out against him. So they busted him. They were able to bust the guy. Never mind to say that he got a citation for obscene display in a Class C vehicle.
Well, and you know, what's bad about that is that it's a state that it doesn't allow tinted windows. So you know, you're kind of, okay. That's a catch 22.
I hadn't thought about those reasons. All right. Any more sex?
No, but I have a segue to drugs.
You are the king of segues.
Stem cell research. Michael Bloomberg of New York has made $1 million donation towards stem cell research.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
To a Republican mayor.
Ex-Democrat. Boy, you know what? You can take the Democrat out of a Republican.
Yeah, I know that.
Bloomberg's donation was to the University of John Hopkins, which is his alma mater, and he had originally, back in 1998, he gave a donation that was the highest ever received by the school, and in 2001 they named the John Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, that wing.
Wasn't that nice of them?
Yes. His latest donation is going to be used toward public health projects and the School of Medicine, Institute for Cell Engineering. And they hope to conduct stem cell research. Now, this is, as far as we know, there are no strings attached, so that the Bush administration, which is, part of his Republican Party, not supporting federal funding of embryonic stem cell research, would probably frowns on it. But then there are a lot of Republicans that are now for stem cell research.
And there's a lot of views and different views within the parties. There were stories this last week regarding, despite what happened in South Korea recently with the revelations out of there, that there's actually maybe a spur now that it turns out that the things happening in South Korea didn't quite work out the way that they were reported, that other researchers around the world will now begin again on some pursuits that they hadn't, that they'd stopped doing because they thought the guy in South Korea was working out so well.
Right.
So it may work out in the long term for the better. All right, more drugs. I understand there's a football game tomorrow. Do you know anything about that?
No, I'm a working man. I'm a working class hero, and I have to work.
Well, I gave up football when the Los Angeles Rams moved to that Anaheim place where they have a baseball team now.
No, they moved to under the Golden Arches of St. Louis.
No, they moved back home. Anyway, the Super Bowl. I'm not that lame. I do know the Super Bowl is tomorrow, and what I also know about the Super Bowl is that they're going to have 120 footballs there during the first half. Every play, they're going to have a different football, much like at presidential bill signings where each letter, they use a different pen when they sign a law. Well, in this case, every play during the first half, they're going to be using a different football, which they will later sell. Or donate to charities or give to certain players or coaches. difference this time is each one of the balls is going to be marked with DNA. It's got to be high tech if it's got DNA in it.
Wow.
They are, the company is called Live. Oh, I forgot the name here. There's a company, Wilson makes the footballs, but they're using the technology where they are marking these balls with a specific DNA marker that can be later used. I think it's 1 in 3 trillion is the chances for it being duplicated. Wow. And then they'll take the footballs later on and be able to keep track of them. They're going to note the usage of each ball, you know, what play it was used in, and then later on sell it between an estimated $1,000 and
$1,500. Call me old.
Because they don't make enough money off that Super
right.
Bowl.
Call me old school, but I long for the Janet Jackson days.
Also the Super Bowl. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wishful thinking for the long gone days. Also at the Super Bowl, they're going to be using what are described as holograms, although from what I understand, they're really more just 3D renditions of people who are attending. We talked last year how they used face
recognition.
Recognition for people who are coming through the turnstiles. I guess we're beefing all that up this year. We're going to be using multiple cameras that will allow the images to be rendered in 3D using a special a company called Life Vision has a special projector system where you can view things similar, they say, although I haven't seen it, to the Star Wars hologram with Princess Leia, something like that.
Detroit needs all the help they can get right now.
Okay. All right. Any other drugs?
I've got some rock and roll.
Let's remind everybody first, though, that you're listening to Digital Village here on KPFK Los Angeles, 90.7 FM.
98.7 FM in beautiful downtown Santa Barbara and Santa Barbara County and throughout the universe at kpfk.org. The revolution ain't being televised, but it is being streamed.
My name is Doran Behrens.
My name is Rick Allen, and we are joined today in about 15 minutes by
Orv Beach and Gareth Greenaway. We're going to be talking about Linux, and the Linux Expo is coming up this next week. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about open source software and things that are happening. Everything open source.
Right.
Okay.
And so my segue from drugs to rock and roll is from stem cells to earwax.
Okay.
A Louisiana man. Okay. Now, you know, I'm sorry. We've gone too far here.
It's those cold medications you've been taking.
It is. There's a lawsuit that Apple's iPod music player can cause hearing loss in people who use it. That's right. And if you sit in front of a TV and 2 inches in front of a TV, you're going to have eyesight loss too. But you know, that's just me. Basically, the complaint says that the iPod players are quote inherently defective in design and are not sufficiently adorned with adequate warnings regarding the likelihood of hearing loss unquote, according to the complaint filed on behalf of John Keel Patterson of Louisiana.
His lawyer, Steve Berman, says that, and here's where the story gets fun, folks.
Mm-hmm.
His client, Mr. Patterson, doesn't know if he suffered any hearing loss.
No. That's the point.
That's not the point.
The point is the lawyer gets paid.
The point is that he says that the iPod can generate more than 115 decibels of sound pressure level. Sounds good to me. But I can't hear anything above 10 kilohertz anyway, so who am I to say?
What?
Shut up. But anyway, the lawyer does say that his client doesn't know if he's suffered any damage, hearing damage, but like you say, Rick, that's beside the point. It's a defective product, and because of the defective product, he deserves some money.
Hey, here's a clue. Turn it down.
What?
Exactly.
All right. That's just... Okay. Don't turn it up too loud, kids. Stand away from the speakers. We don't want you to get hurt.
Listen to what Peter Townsend of The Who tells you.
Okay. The International Federation of the Phonographic Industries, that's the international version of the RIAA, one of our most favorite lobbying organizations here in the U.S., the IFPI, IFPI says that despite the success of downloadable songs over the last year, where about a billion a billion with a B dollars worth of music was sold compared to about 300 million the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And despite that success of downloaded music, legally downloaded music, the quote-unquote illegal downloads did not go down over the previous year. They stayed flat. I thought it was kind of cute how the IFPI said, but that's a success. It didn't go up. That's good.
But the thing is,
they would have rather it gone down, but
where which peer to peer? Because haven't they all been outlawed? I mean, well, the Supreme Court said they're bad.
Yeah, but we still have the networks out there. The technique used by the recording industry has been going after the software makers because eDonkey is another network that's been in the news and others. So, but the underlying network of the internet and peer-to-peer technology. Remember Napster, the old venerable Napster, was itself just a collection of old technologies such as FTP and such. Who knows? I don't know if it's ever going to go. We have to remember that increasing number of sources are legally making their songs available via these networks, whether we're talking about BitTorrent files or other things. We have a lot of free illegal files being made available over these peer-to-peer networks. So how to control which ones are which? Well, there's a lot of people thinking about that.
Well, if the French government gets its way, file sharing would be legal in that part of the world, and both for music and films. And the anti-piracy entertainment industry not happy about this, because what the culture minister is set to do because of this draft on he's going to be questioned on next Wednesday by the Parliamentary Commission for Cultural Arts and the Commission for Economic Affairs, and basically what this law would allow: unlimited peer-to-peer downloading for a flat fee of several euros a month. That means from all across the board, from any record company, from any movie company. So they don't want it, but France is going ahead with it so far.
Wow, interesting. The story is coming out this week of another lawsuit among the most recent 700 or so lawsuits filed by the RIAA was one against a healthcare aide known as Marie Lindor. She has now asked the Eastern Court of New York to dismiss the case because she says she's never downloaded, distributed, made available for distribution any files, but has also never purchased, used, or even turned on a computer in her whole life. That would probably put a crimp on any file sharing if you've never turned on a computer or used one in your whole life. Not clear. So the RIAA is remaining adamant in their pursuit of Ms. Lindor. I'm not sure if they trace it to an IP address, if it's, how it's related to her. Perhaps there's somebody else in her apartment. I don't know.
Oh, we wonder if they got the right Lindor.
She doesn't have a computer, how they have an IP address for her, but I don't know how that works out. But I thought that was pretty good. We'll find out if Ms. Lindor will follow this and find out if, in fact, she does have a computer.
And if she doesn't, it's, akin to the story of the police going into the wrong house, dragging out the participants, beating them.
Oh, that's never, never happened.
Yeah.
No, at least not in the last couple of hours. Hillary Rosen, remember, used to run the RIAA.
She's now the other Hillary.
The other Hillary. She's now opening up an anti-piracy consultancy. That's right. She's now going to be making big bucks off of consulting for the record industry and such. She's going along with we're going to call Berman Rosen. She's going to be starting the company with Jay Berman, who was described as her one-time counterpart. I mentioned Napster earlier. I just want to mention Google. There was some talk about whether or not Google was going to be buying Napster as an effort to get into online music. They've now issued a report, according to Reuters, denying that they are in talks with an alliance with Napster. So We'll see. Just today. Who knows what will happen on Monday.
By the way, Google's attempt to fend off government requests for millions of search terms is going to move to a federal court in San Jose on March 13th rather than that February 27th originally scheduled date. No explanation given, but the outcome should determine whether the U.S. Justice Department will prevail in its fight to force Google to help it defend its anti-pornography law. That was the excuse.
Yeah, this is where the feds want all the, not all, but a bunch millions of records, a million random search terms and a week's worth of logs, I believe it was. Google's getting a lot of attention for that. They're getting a lot of attention for their cooperation with China in blocking access to certain search terms. That's going ahead with, I believe it was congressional hearings planned. I'm thinking on the 10th on that one, although I'd have to check. I know Google, Cisco, Microsoft, and Yahoo have all cooperated with China and probably
AOL.
AOL, I believe, as well, all cooperated with the foreign governments who support oppression and suppression of information. They've all cooperated in various ways. Microsoft this week said that they are changing their policy in that they will at least, while they will still block a blog, this is on the Microsoft MSN Spaces websites, if China or other countries don't want somebody within their borders posting a blog, Microsoft will in fact block that blog from being viewed within that country, China or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
However, their change in policy now is twofold. One, they will notify the person whose blog it is that it's being blocked within the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that they're saying is that they're going to allow it to be viewed outside of the country. I believe MSN Spaces is hosted outside of China. And thus, if that's the case, and I think it is, it wouldn't be a subject to the firewall implementations that China has.
The Great Firewall of China, as it's being called.
But, in fact, Microsoft is justifying this censorship by saying that they have to cooperate with local laws.
I have a suggestion for...
And other companies, I'm just saying, are doing the same thing.
Right. I have a suggestion for a new slogan for Microsoft. Do not as much evil.
Yeah. Well, I think that could be used for all of them. I could say, while we're on the subject of blogs, real quick, two quick ones. One was Mike Donegan was a copy editor and reporter at the Dover? The Post, I think they're in Delaware.
Yeah, it is Delaware.
I'm sorry about that. He was a copy editor and reporter there. He had a blog which was, I think it could be fairly described as offensive. It would certainly be offensive to some people, and there's a lot of, I mean, it starts off with talking about shaving certain body parts that are certainly normally covered by underwear, so I don't want to know anything more about that. Because of that blog, which is a private blog, I should mention, it was hosted on MySpace, speaking of MySpace, he was fired by his boss, who said that I looked at the site. There's a quote from the News Journal. I looked at the site, and sure enough, it was there immediately afterwards. I verified with him that it was his site, and at that point, I fired him.
No 2 weeks' notice on that blog?
No, and he said, well, the guy has a right to post what he wants to post. And it was so offensive to the taste of the editor that he didn't believe that the person should stay employed. Interesting kind of freedom of speech issues there for a journalist. In Smyrna, also in Delaware, the mayor there, Mark Schaefer, had for a long time denied that anybody in his family was responsible for what was described as an obscenity-laced blog directed at Mr. Schaefer's neighbor and political rival, Cahill, Pat Cahill was the rival's name. Well, it turns out, it comes out this week that, in fact, it was Mr. Mayor Schaefer's stepdaughter, 25-year-old Ms. Rowley, who had been posting the blog and making the remarks regarding the political rival. In the blog, it was described that she had featured prominently a criminal trial accusing Cahill and his wife of terrorizing and harassing the Schaefers. However, those charges were acquitted, although Mr. Cahill was convicted of a misdemeanor of driving a lawnmower over a newspaper and directing the shreds towards the mayor's house.
Well, those were neighbors that were literally on the other side of the fence from each other.
So there's some political battles there involving the shredded newspapers and blogs there in the Smyrna, Delaware.
Well, speaking of political, there was a new kind of surprising, but not really, to some people that were paying attention, that John Boehner, however you pronounce his name,
he's the person taking over Tom DeLay in the Congress.
Right, exactly, majority leader. And what was interesting about that is, no truth to rumor, Diebold was involved in those votes, but...
They had to vote twice.
They had to vote twice because the first one, there were more votes than there were people who voted.
That's right. There was a ballot discrepancy in the Congress during a secret ballot.
See, Ohio, you're not so famous, infamous after all. We can do it right in D.C., in the chambers.
And just like in Florida and Ohio, nobody knows the results. But in this case, it was because it was a secret ballot.
Secret, yeah.
Very secret. But we do know that Mr. Boehner was elected as the GOP.
And we're not sure how many blacks were left off of that ballot.
Okay. We're running out of time here. I do want to mention, while we're on the subject, this is a good one, too, right up there with the missing ballots or the extra ballots. We have a story this week's Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
What's new in Wikipedia? We have a story that they had to block the IP addresses from the House, from certain House staff members, after it was found out that a number of blog entries on Wikipedia. Wikipedia, for those of you who don't know, is a public online encyclopedia, which has the distinguishing feature of being able to be edited by anybody who visits the site. So that the idea is that the entries will be up to date and hopefully accurate. Well, what they found out is that staff members of certain congressional members have been logging on and altering the bios of their bosses. Bad, bad staff members. Matt Vogel, who is Representative Meehan of a Democrat, has said that he had authorized his intern to make changes in last July. Wikipedia is reporting over 1,000 changes being made by various congressional staffers. Among the things that were changed were Mr. Meehan's, or Representative Meehan's, promise that he would stay in office for no more than 8 years. He's since altered that. He's changed that position. He likes it there in Washington. So he's staying on. So while the old entry read, quote, Meehan first ran for Congress in 1992 on a platform of reform, that's what it said afterwards. Beforehand, it says, as part of that platform, Meehan made a pledge to not serve more than 4 terms. It was a central part of his campaign. This breaking of the pledge has become a controversial issue in the 5th Congressional District of Massachusetts. That was the old entry. The new entry takes away those remarks and replaces him with that he was elected to Congress in 1992 on a plan to eliminate the deficit. His fiscally responsible voting record, no politics in that phrase, since then has earned him the praise of citizen watchdog groups.
Okay.
No mention of it. Now, they went on to say about this whole thing is that making additions and augmenting is different than removing passages that are critical. Joel Stein, who wrote a really stupid editorial in the LA Times about a week or two ago regarding people who said that they support the troops but not the war. His Wikipedia entry had a couple of rather unflattering remarks about him. I noticed that had to be removed, the nature of it. He's a real scumbag kind of stuff. So those kind of, remarks get removed from Wikipedia. They ask that they don't be added. And that if you disagree with something, that you, add something saying why you disagree rather than just pulling out wholesale old entries.
Yeah, it makes me want to go to Wikipedia and check what the reasons for us getting into Iraq were again.
No,
I wonder if those have been changed.
My last story, because we're moving on and we're running out of time, is that the LAPD is now saying that they're going to be using darts in their attempts to get high-speed chases and car chases in order to avoid high-speed pursuits.
Darts.
They're now going to be using darts that have GPS transmitters built into them.
It's the Irish pub procedure.
She's Bratton, who is from New York, let's remember, said that all the nuts are out here in L.A. Thanks for joining us out here.
You forgot about the fruits?
They're going to be testing what's called the Star Chase system, and they're going to be a number of vehicles that are going to be tested for about 6 months. They're going to see how it works out. I can't wait. It's going to be mounted on the front of the car in a cannon, what's described as a cannon-like device.
I can imagine.
I can only wait for the first time a 13-year-old boy gets hit with one of those.
Or several.
Okay. All right. We're running late. Let's take a quick break. We're going to be back in just a moment. We're going to be talking about the Southern California Linux Expo. Stay tuned.